welcome everyone to this edition of On the Agenda podcast with Associated School Boards of South Dakota. My name is Heath Larson, Executive Director. Just a couple things I wanted to mention today on our podcast. One being is we've had a chance or a little chance to reflect on Governor Roden's 0% recommended budget for schools and the Big Three. Just wanted to make mention that we're keeping a close eye on that and certainly all hoping and will work for more for K-12 public education funding. Would really encourage our local school board members to develop relationships and rapport with your local legislators. Communicate with them about the need for more funding for our K-12 schools to stay strong and competitive. So just remember and keep in mind that 0%, and of course all of this is with civility, but the 0% isn't a final answer today. We have a couple months of a legislative session coming up here from January through March, where we expect the funding component and that discussion to be something that the legislative body certainly looks at closely to try and help out our schools in addition to the Big Three. Also, February 9th is Stand With Public Education Day at the Capitol. So Jen Gustafson, a Langford board member, has worked with that and got that all set up for everyone. So Stand With Public Education's February 9th at the Capitol. Come and get a taste of what life is like a day in the Capitol. We encourage you to attend if possible. That is a Monday here coming up in February, which would be the second Monday of the month. And last but not least, certainly want to encourage everyone and make sure and bring a point on your land membership. So appoint your Legislative Action Network folks from your school board, and you can appoint your entire board as your land members if you so choose. That process is a good process for us that we utilize during session here at ASBSD, where we will notify our land members and really encourage communication in terms of a bill gets some steam behind it and we need some assistance and want to bring relevance to from a committee perspective or different legislators. So we utilize that Legislative Action Network very well, and it can be a great process and a great operational mechanism for us here when we're working to bring the best we can for our public schools and K-12 education in South Dakota. And with that, our podcast interview today is with Second Vice President of Associated School Boards and the Mobridge Pollock Board President, Eric Stroder. So I hope you enjoy getting to learn more about Eric as we learn about and ask him about his educational views and philosophies. Thanks for joining us. Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Associated School Boards of South Dakota's podcast. My name is Heath Larson, Executive Director at Associated School Boards, and with us today is Eric Stroder, and Eric is a school board member in the Mobridge Pollock School District and also serving in another term through on the Executive Committee for Associated School Boards of South Dakota as the second vice president this year for 25-26. So with that, I want to welcome Eric to our podcast. And how's it been going, Eric? Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you have going on there in Mobridge Pollock.
All right. Well, I guess a little bit about myself. I live about 10 miles from Mobridge, just east. That's why I always, people say you're from Glenham. I am kind of from Glenham, but the suburbs of Glenham. But I guess, you know, I worked for almost, it was 34 and a half years now for the DOT up here in Mobridge as an engineer. And I'm currently the engineering supervisor and oversee all the construction up here. But I've been on the Mobridge School Board. This is just starting with my sixth term. So just over 15 years now. And I, of course, married to Carrie and have four kids. They're all grown and away and married. Have three grandkids and a fourth one on the way. So that keeps me busy right there. But, you know, it's so many things I get involved with, you know, here in the community and even in the state and national level, you know, between, and the local level with, church and school And then on the state level, with the retirement board and school board association, and even on the national level, with the NSBA board of directors and stuff. So, like you say, you tell me all the time, I must be in a meeting all the time, and sometimes it feels that way.
Well, that's great, Eric. I know you certainly have an extensive leadership background, and I kid with you sometimes about all the different boards and committees you get asked to be on and represent all the state of South Dakota or in whatever capacity your local school district, both locally, statewide, and nationally, with your involvement. And you've been around public schools and public education for a long time. What inspired you, Eric, to get involved in education at the local school board level initially?
Well, initially, for one thing, my wife has worked at the school for 18 years now, and she was working at the school, so I was hearing things. I had four kids in school, and then being involved with a lot of different community activities, people had said, you ought to be on the school board too. And then there was a member that was retiring, so there was an opening, and people said, you better run. And of course, I ran and was unopposed that first time and got on. And really, it's kind of rolled from there. I didn't have any issues I really that were burning in my mind, but I always think you need to be involved with your community and try to make a difference and have an impact. So I just thought it was a great place to jump in and see what I could do to help out.
Well, you've certainly been a great servant leader. What are some qualities that you believe are most important for someone at the local school board level to possess? What do you think there? I mean, what should people quality-wise be looking for or have to help serve their local community the best?
I think it's important to listen, to people when they have concerns, but also to be a learner. In this job, especially, you have to be continuously trying to educate yourself about issues, about what's going on in your community, what's going on in the state, nationally, even trying to find out new and innovative ways of doing things. I think that's really important is to continue learning and training, but also, working with people, you have to. So much of this job is social. It's about who you know and having discussions and trying to work on solutions together. It's important to be able to meet people in the middle and where they are, because so much of our world right now is divisive, I think, and people aren't willing to compromise. And I think it's really important to be able to put yourself in their place, and when people are talking to you, and understand where they're coming from, even if you don't agree with them, but at least they can feel your empathy towards what their problem is, and they're more willing to meet you in the middle, I think, if they think you're gonna go there.
What would you say? Can you talk a little bit about the role of Associated School Boards in our association and its relationship with local school districts? What are your thoughts on the role and relationship there?
Well, Associated School Boards is it's a great resource for the schools and the board members. I've always said my time on this board is we need to be the go-to place for questions and problems, which means having quality people that know the right answers, and that's why I've always said we can't be afraid to get the best and have the best people working for us, because we want to be that go-to place for questions, whether it's legally, legislatively, or even for training. When a new school board member comes on, they go and look as associate school boards for what does it mean to be a school board member? What do I need to know? The training we provide, the legal services we provide, and the legislative, impact that we have, I think that's really where we need to be as a school board association.
One of the things we talk a lot about, Eric, is the importance from an advocacy perspective for us, not only at the state level, and we do national level things as well, but the importance of local people, local school board members, local constituents, stakeholders, being, connected with their local legislators. So at the statewide level, We continue to hear the value of local school board members, as an example, and their advocacy and work with and contacts with local legislators. Can you tell us a little bit about your experience with that over the years, your belief in the belief of power of local control and advocacy with your local legislators? Can you talk a little bit about
That's a subject you go on all day about,
that?
because it is really the heart of your legislative processes at the local level. I mean, our ties as school board members to the what the community values are and what the community wants is key. And I think our legislators, they want to hear from our local schools, and they really respect what we have to say because we're the local people and we know them. But so much of our so much of everything that we do is social. We need to build that relationship with these legislators. We need to not just call them when every time we have an issue, but even talk to them about other things and bring other things. That relationship is huge when it comes to a problem that you're having and your ability to contact them and work through problems. And some of that just goes into involvement. Like I've said, I like to be involved, and if you're involved with different organizations, you run into these people in other areas too. So it isn't just school board stuff that you run into. But I always encourage the superintendent to invite them to our school and to a meeting if possible, or even just come in and do a tour of the school with them, and we'll come up and talk with you. It gets them a chance to see what's going on and what we do. We've had a great relationship with all our legislators over the year. That they definitely listen to what we think, and even if they don't agree or vote our way, at least we had a chance to talk to them, and they're respectful of what we think.
What are some of the most pressing issues you see facing schools, in South Dakota right now, or even your region? What are some things that you're seeing and that you can share with our viewers as far as some things going on that they need to be aware of if they're not facing our schools, whether it's Mobridge Pollock or really any school, in South Dakota?
Chris, we always talk about funding. Funding's key for schools. And then I think on every level, we're worried about what impact, vouchers might have on our schools. We also, in these rural areas, like we are, trying to find people, teachers, with shrinking populations too. How do you deal with that? It's hard to budget when you don't know how many kids are going to show up in September. And that was always a nice thing about like the averaging. You could at least have a base number you could count on. Now we don't, and our numbers fluctuate from year to year quite a bit. So that's always an issue. Trying to provide programs like your CTE programs, and trying to do it on a smaller scale, it's tough, because there's only so much money to go around. Even trying to find like school nurses, psychologists, or if you want security, it's hard to do that on a small scale in a rural area. It isn't a matter of how many you're going to have; it's whether or not you're going to even have it. I think of something else we've been dealing with a lot, and it's kind of actually goes on a national level, is just the divisiveness in education and how there's such polarized views. And when you're sitting on a school board, how do you try to reconcile these different views and get people to come together to pull in one direction? It seemed like 15 years ago when I started on the school board, there wasn't that much of that. People were the schools, everybody loved their local schools. Now you've got these different groups trying to pull us this way and that way. And that's where I think education and training for the school board members is so important to help you deal with some of those issues. So.
Talk a little bit about, and you mentioned some of the challenges, in regards at the local level, state level, national level, even. But describe how school boards can foster strong relationships with their local communities, because it all mends and molds together. And there's typically vested interests at your local community level for your local school and vice versa, right? So what do you think from a school board perspective can be done or that you've seen in, as far as fostering strong relationships with their local communities?
Yeah, that's an issue we've been kind of working on a little more lately. You have to build those bridges with the community to try to get their ideas. I mean, if the community doesn't feel like they're being heard, I think then they feel like they're being alienated and they're left out of the loop. But that's where transparency is very important. I think even some of this technology that we have now with live school board meetings, recorded school board meetings, people can see what's going on. We're trying to do a little more strategic planning with the community, getting some of those stakeholders, the businesses, some of the parents in to let's have some meetings and just discuss what you think's important. Trying to build those bridges really helps. Even different organizations such as your PTO or your we have the Lakota Education Committee, and their involvement and listening to them helps build some of that. Some of these CTE programs really depend on community involvement. We have like our welding program. We work with these local welding shops, or we have some health CTE programs, and trying to get the hospital in here and doctors in here to help with that. That builds relationships too. Anything we can do on that front really does help build that trust and that relationship.
So what are you seeing from on the financial end of things? And like you mentioned before, we always talk about funding and, different times we talk about the lack thereof funding for our schools. Sometimes it's rare that we ever complain about having too much money, right? Or too much funding. But with the increasing financial pressures on schools, and that's probably always been a part of it for as long as we both can remember. There's always been financial pressures, but what are some of the innovative strategies that school boards are using to maximize these limited resources?
Some of the things we've done over the years, we've always pursued grants if they're available, because there are some grants for, especially when you start talking CTE programs. We've also tried to leverage some of the local businesses to help out with materials or even personnel that could help out the training. Trying to share resources with schools, if you have several schools within a few miles, you might be able to share teachers or administration even, or psychologists, nurses. I think we're going to have to explore more of that stuff and sharing services, sharing programs. It doesn't make much sense for us to run a welding program in the school 10 miles on the road to run the same program if somehow we can share those teachers or facilities. I think schools are going to do that a lot more. Online stuff, of course, has a place. As we know, it's not this doesn't solve all the problems, because there's a lot of issues that come up with that. But yet, I think we need to leverage those resources too, because it works well for some people, and even our colleges and the dual credit that can help with some of the need. I just think we need to start in investigating more of this, and I'm sure there's a lot of things I've never even thought about that people need to bring and share and discuss.
As you look forward to the future of public education, and we know what we have now, and what I've always felt like in the state of South Dakota is, strong communities, strong schools, very dedicated people who typically really support the mission of their local school district. What is your vision for the future of public education in our state in South Dakota?
Well, it seems like the school's role has expanded over the last 20 years, where we've had to be more things to more people. But I kind of like some of the stuff we've studied and looked at it on the portrait of a graduate, where you're looking at more of the whole overall, are you preparing people for life? And I think we're looked at a lot more to try to provide life skills for these kids. And some of that even goes into the social and emotional learning, which maybe gets a bad rap sometimes, but I think people are looking to us to do a little more of that so that these kids are able to go out and get their first job, whether it's learning trades or being prepared to go to college. And we don't want them just to have the knowledge to go to college, but we want them to be able to succeed at college or succeed in a trade. And I think we need to look at the little broader picture of what we think of as success for our students, because somebody can do really well on a ACT test and yet not do very well or not be very successful in life. And I think we need to both try to get good scores, but also try to make sure these kids do well when they leave our schools. So I think that's more of what we're going to do. And we, to do that, we have to address more of these social skills and emotional skills that these kids, which I think in the past we assumed the parents did that, and that isn't always the case anymore. And I think the parents are looking for our help to try to build these skills in kids.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head earlier when you said it seems like schools continually get asked to do more and more, and we're asking more of our teachers, and not only our teachers but our support staff and our administrators as well. Just across the board, we're being asked to do more things for kids these days. And certainly, from a visionary perspective, are a stronghold for educating the youth and creating strong citizens for the future. So appreciate your insights on your vision there for public ed. What advice would you give to someone looking to serve on their local school board, Eric?
Well, I think you need to be involved with the community and get involved with the school. Volunteer for if you have a parent teacher organization or if you have committees that you can be on. It's always a good place to start. Then you can learn a little bit about what goes on in the school. I think you need to pay attention to what kids are saying, what people are saying, but just start to educate and get to know people. That's a good place to start. And even if you're not on the school board, you can have quite an impact just serving on some of those committees, and maybe a lot less of the headaches that come with being on the school board. But and what usually happens if you do become involved with those committees and you get to know people and learn things, you move right into those school board positions.
Generally speaking, in South Dakota, it seems as though stakeholders typically like their local school and support the mission of their district. Certainly, there can be, challenges along the way that come about. But what are some examples that you're aware of that support that sentiment that your local stakeholders really support and like their local school and will get on board with you when you have needs or pressing issues that are, in existence? What are some things you've seen that you're aware of that support that sentiment, where the community really gets behind the local school?
Well, the businesses and our community have always been willing to step up and help when we need something. Like I said before, the welding shops have helped out with some of our CTE programs. The hospital's always been able to help us. Economic development and tourism have helped us out too. I mean, they just painted a mural at the in our commons area on the wall. It's pretty neat. They had a group that did that sculpture of the tiger up there, those kind of things to try to beautify the school. Even like the colored flyers that we give out at the games, the different organizations that have either sponsored that or printed those things, and all those things go a long ways. The Booster Club have raised money and donated things for like scoreboards or video boards, and I think those things, they all, help build bridges between those organizations and us too, and get to know each other. Several people around the community donate money for scholarships that they give to kids to go to college. All these things show that the community really supports the school and is willing to go the extra step to help us out when we have needs, or even looking for needs and ways to help. I think we have groups that come and say, "What do you need help with?" You know, well, so I would take them up on those things because that helps build more bridges.
You've always had a very supportive community there in the Mobridge Pollock area, and have always supported your local students very strongly. And that obviously is key in the educational process. So with that, Eric, we're kind of coming to the end of our podcast visit today, and really appreciate you sharing your knowledge and wisdom with everyone from a school board perspective. Like we said earlier, you're on multiple boards and have a lot of valuable experiences when it comes to leadership, and you've been at the table in a lot of different situations. So really, really value that and appreciate you taking the time today, Eric.
Yeah, it's like you say, you do need to be involved because it's you need to be at the table. You know, if you're not at the table when the discussion's going on, you're usually what's for lunch. So it's like that's the importance of being involved and getting to know people.
Absolutely. Well, thanks everybody for listening today. That was Eric Schroeder, Mobridge Pollock School District Board Member and Second Vice President for Associated School Boards of South Dakota. I'm Heath Larson, Executive Director at Associated School Boards, and thank you for tuning in today.